Welcome to the SharePoint 2010 overview session. My name is Matthijs Hoekstra. I'm a developer evangelist with Microsoft in the Netherlands. It's my job to get people enthusiastic about our software. So developers, end users, anybody. Today I'm going to talk about SharePoint. I'm going to show you SharePoint. Probably some people never saw SharePoint 2010 before, so it's going to be the first one. It's going to be focused on the end user functionality. So if you're an IT pro or a developer and you were expecting to see IT pro and developer stuff, please stand up, leave the room. There's two other sessions going on at the moment which go in depth in the developer and IT pro stuff. So if you've got questions, just raise your hand, use the mic or shout, and I can answer maybe the questions. I don't mind getting interrupted. I want to show you a lot, so, oh yeah. Oh, can you put it on a bit, the volume? All right, better so? Thanks. This is the objective, provide an overview of end user features. So it's going to be all about a lot of SharePoint 2010 features. And it's up to you to make up different kind of solutions using all those features. And there's going to be a lot of sessions covering the different features as well, more in depth. This is our value proposition slide. Mike showed it in his keynote as well. And there's three value propositions we think people will get value out of when they are using SharePoint 2010. The first one is connect and empower people. How can we help people find other people, give them self-servers and the power to create their own applications without falling back, for example, to developers, composite applications, cut costs with a unified infrastructure. Instead of having separate products for all different kind of functionalities, we like to have a single platform which will bring you all different kind of functionalities. I will have some samples of it, but we don't create just a feature, for example, rating pages for blogs, but we can use features like that in different parts of SharePoint as well. And rapid response to business needs is talking about how end users themselves can change the system to create, for example, simple business processes. I made some notes because I want to cover a lot of stuff, especially in the demo. So it's not that I didn't prepare myself, but I want to make sure that I don't forget important things. If you look at the different buckets we have here, sites, communities, content, search, insights, and composites, it's a bit different than the 2007 donut we showed you with all the different colors. For example, the word Office is gone. It's now Microsoft SharePoint. We still have great integration with Office, but I think the team is getting big enough and they thought, well, we don't need the Office part anymore, so we removed it, made a shorter name. We changed the colors as well, and we did it on purpose. What we found out is that when we talked about the different buckets in 2007, people really think, well, these are separate parts of the SharePoint product. So, but we still organize them as different buckets, but they are still integrated. So it's one product with different kind of scenarios we cover, but they can be exchanged. So example, sites is the part where we work together, share documents, and content is the part where we talk about enterprise content management, records management, but the records management part is usable all over the place. So when you're working in a community and create blog posts, we can declare a record on a blog post as well. So we divided them to talk about it in a more consistent way, but it doesn't mean that there are separate parts of the product. And to give you an example of the different kind of features and scenarios we can cover, and I will talk about the separate buckets one by one, but just to give you an example of the different kind of functionality we have in the different buckets, I created this slide. The Rimmen UI in sites, I will talk about it. I will talk about the social part in communities, the chart web part in the insights bucket, the composites where people can create their own applications by dragging and dropping and using our tools without writing one line of code. So let's start with SharePoint sites. Rich user experience. What we try to do is make it possible for the user to create their own sites and make it very easy to change it. One of the nice additions, and people saw it in Office 2007 before, is we added the ribbon. Because we have so many features and functionality on a page, the ribbon helps users navigate through all the kind of functionality, and we make it adaptive to the kind of work you are doing. So when you're in a list, we will show you the menus which will help you manipulate items in a list. If you go on a page, we will show you commands about the page. If you have your own web part, which has certain functionality and it's on the page, it will dynamically be added in the ribbon as well and expose itself. So we've done a lot of work on our debt. We have a rich offline experience with SharePoint Workspace. We can take off all the documents, data, custom lists, and take them offline and have a read-write experience with SharePoint Workspace. People probably know it as the former name was Groove. Anywhere access, Microsoft has the real strategy to do mobile, web, and PC interface. So we invested a lot in mobile access on SharePoint, so you can define your mobile interface and people can access SharePoint content on the mobile, open up Word documents, for example, change them and write them back. We have created the Office web applications, so you can have and you can read documents through the web without a client, except for a browser. You can change the documents, Excel sheets, PowerPoints, OneNote, and change them back to the server, so that opens up a few new scenarios as well. Cross-browser support. A lot of customers complained to Microsoft about our browser support. We'll try to fix that, so we support now Firefox, Safari, and Internet Explorer. And by the way, we don't support Internet Explorer 6 anymore. Doesn't mean it doesn't work. It means that we didn't test the functionality. Excuse me? I don't think it's on the support matrix, but most of the stuff will work. We have a tier 1 and a tier 2 support, so we call it. It's tier 1 is the browser we do the full test and everything should work, like Safari on Windows, Firefox, and IE. And there's some browsers which will provide the functionality, but probably not everything. For example, if you create a website, of course, then it's up to the developer what kind of HTML you will throw out and which browser you will support. But it's more about using sites, collaborate with people, and stuff like that. And I will show you that in a minute as well. And a single platform. In SharePoint land, it doesn't matter if you're working with a document, or if you're working with a record, or with a blog post, or with a wiki entry, we all treat it like the same. So that means that users don't need to learn new things all the time. We have a platform which will scale to an internet site, and you saw it in the intro video. There's a lot of websites built on SharePoint already, to the internet and the extranet, and we have a lot of combinations for that as well. So people like to collaborate internally, but with external parties as well, more and more. Improved interoperability with standard support. We try to be more compliant to the different standards, and we had to do that because we want to support multiple browsers as well. Out of the box, we have accessibility compliance. I'm not really familiar with all the compliance, but it means that you have accessibility compliance, so people with some disabilities are blind, for example, still can use readers and use SharePoint. So, let me show you SharePoint. This is SharePoint 2010. team site, and I've added some content. I hope everybody can see it in the back. This is running in Firefox. And if I open up Internet Explorer, looks the same, just out of the box. We have a ribbon on the page. And what you can see here is the edit, checkout. This is the page where I'm working on. If I select, for example, a document, you will see the library tools are appearing, and I can perform different actions on the documents or on the library itself. It's dynamic. So, for example, if I select a document and I can have multiple documents, you see that this edit document, for example, is grayed out now. So it knows that this action can't be performed on two documents at the same time. Checkout, for example, is still available, but check-in is not. So it knows the status of the documents and the kind of documents you're selecting, so it will adapt dynamically on the things you are doing. When I go back, for example, to the home page, editing a page is quite simple as well. There's an edit button here, and I'm in edit mode now. What I can do is select a text, and for example, change it, and it will automatically preview what things you are doing, like we are used to in Word, but now it's done through the web. Changing an image, you will see the picture tools appearing here as well, and resizing images quite easy as well. So these things are getting more easy and easy. We have a web part inside a rich text field, that's new as well. So what this means is that when you're entering text and you want, for example, a movie, and I can show that as well. Let me insert the web part. Page is changed for people who are it's a media web part. I can change the media for my computer or from SharePoint. I'm not sure if I edited the movie already. No, I have to do it from my computer. This has changed as well. When people use SharePoint before and typing in text and all that stuff, you needed to upload the pictures and the videos before you can start using it in your content. So remember that? That's gone now. You can just start from flow like I'm doing now, upload an image or a video. I'm not sure if I have a place where I can store that, digital assets. It will upload the movie now to the SharePoint site. I can add some metadata just from one screen, save it. And I say, well, you need to start automatically and loop until you're finished. You will see running video in your screen now. So quite easy to do, right? And this is Silverlight player. And to be honest, it was last year in the Lowe's Desktop Plus when there was ice.
Ice is too good.
Yeah, it was really nice. All right. And of course, when I refresh the browser in Internet Explorer, it will work here as well. So that's pretty nice, right? A little bit change in the interface. We have the ribbon now. In-place editing, you see what you get, editing kind of capabilities. Changing the themes is quite easy as well. For people who are familiar with PowerPoint, you can change, I will stop it because people get distracted when things are moving on the screen. You can save the theme in PowerPoint, upload it to SharePoint, and change the theme from your website as well. So this is all done by end users without writing lines of code. So I think that's pretty cool. There's also the possibility to take SharePoint content offline, and I did it already before. It takes some while when I do it live, but what we have here, example, are the different documents on the site. And now it's not loading. These are the two documents I had on the website. Different lists are here. Some information is not available offline, for example, the calendar and the pages library that will display here when I click on it and I'm online, it will go to SharePoint automatically. But it will also take with me the InfoPath forms, for example. So when I can enter my InfoPath forms in SharePoint workspace, when I'm back online, it will upload the changes to SharePoint again. So it's a really nice way to take information and documents on the road. It's still not the applications you take with you, it's the data, but I think it's a nice addition to the product. All right. What we also add, and I can't show at the moment, is we have a multilingual UI now. What it means is that you can switch, if you install the different language packs, dynamically the language of the user interface. And there's always also some smart stuff in SharePoint, because when I change the user interface from English to Dutch, for example, what happens to my list definitions? I created a document library with some metadata, and I named the columns. So there's also the possibility to translate those columns for you. You can translate those columns as well. So when you change the different to different languages, I'm sorry, I have a cold. So it will display the correct labels for the column types as well. So that's really nice. And if you're building your own web parts, there's a possibility for developers to embed their different languages as well. So when we change the language of the UI, it will detect that and the web part will render itself in the correct language as well. And we do it, for example, also the Asian languages and the right to left languages as well. So we got a lot of questions around multilingual interface for SharePoint. So we listened and we built inside the product. So let me go back to the slide. I have to really skip fast all these features really fast, but most sessions on the schedule are going in depth on parts of the presentation I'm doing anyway. So just to give you a generic idea about the product. Did I show? Yeah, that's all I show. Communities. If we talk about communities, we have, for example, informal knowledge. And we call it like ad hoc knowledge sharing. It's not only putting information in a structured document or a record center, it's also putting things in, for example, wiki pages, RAID documents, creating blog posts with some certain things you know. So it's really an informal way of storing different kind of knowledge. Easy navigating, resource with pervasive tags. What users can do is they can tag everything in SharePoint. And they can make up their own tags. I found this is a topic which is around SharePoint or about around Office. They can add tags to everything in SharePoint, a page. They can even tag external websites. We have functionality for that as well. And what it does is that it will create a tag cloud with bigger tags for items which has the same tag. And people can just click around finding stuff. What we also can do, we have a managed metadata store, and somebody from IT can manage it. We can give people permissions to manage this store. And it's a hierarchical store, and it's more fixed. And we have the possibilities to make a tag a managed property or make a managed property a tag again, so it's free for people to use. And this helps getting more structure in your items in SharePoint. The cool thing is that we can share this managed metadata across different SharePoint farms as well. So Mike talked in the keynote about our servers. Metadata store is a server you can use through the entire SharePoint farm or farms if you have in your company. And that helps making a more structured kind of navigation through your content. And I have a sample for it in the next demo as well. So we have the tags for people to use freely. We have the managed metadata, which is more structured. And we have the tools to manage those two and make something which is unstructured structured or vice versa. Social connections is about finding and connecting to people. We changed and extended the My Sites and the profiles. People can share the knowledge they have. We can find people on that as well. We can rate and tag documents. So when you go through content, you can see that people commented on it or have something I've tagged it so you can find those people who are having the same interest as well. We have a news feed, so you can follow people. People probably use something like Facebook or Hives with this activity feed, what people are doing. We added that to SharePoint as well, and you can choose which one of the colleagues you want to follow and keep up to date what they are doing. Participation anywhere is because we can access all this information from anywhere, from a mobile device, offline, online. We make it more easy for people to work together as well, especially because we have also the Office web applications. And for example, with OneNote, people can really collaborate at the same time as well. So people are changing OneNote pages in the web, and other people are using the rich client, and you see the changes updated immediately. And we did it for a few other web applications, and a few other Office applications as well. So let me just show you how this looked like, I think. Let's go back to my demo image. And now I need to log in as a different user. And let's start with the my site. I'm now Dan Jump, the CEO of a fictitious company called Contoso. What you see here is the default my site profile image overview, and I will scroll down a bit so people can see the rest as well. Can people see it in the back as well? Good eyes. Yeah. You see my recent activities. I tagged the document. I changed my profile. I published a blog post. That's all in the activity feed. I see part of my organization, and we are familiar with it from 2007. My tag cloud, which is a summary of the tags I put on documents, and the bigger tags have more occurrences than the smaller tags, obviously. We have a nice organization view, which will load a Silverlight control, which gives me the possibility to drill down into my organization in a really nice way. And when I click on a name, it will go to the my site of the person, of course. I can go to my tags. So this is all my tags and my activities. I can make my activities private if I want to, or I can delete them so other people won't see it anymore. When I go to, for example, a wiki, this is a sample of a wiki. If people are familiar with wikis, Wikipedia, etc. Wiki means, I think it's Hawaiian for fast. It's a way of storing knowledge, and the idea behind wikis is that people are putting knowledge into the system with other people. So it's not like you're the only owner of that page. No, everybody can change or add something to the page to get it better. Most of the time that works. Sometimes it doesn't because people disagree about certain topics. The cool thing with SharePoint is you always know who changed what. So there's a version history, so you can always look back on, hey, who destroyed this page or who changed it, and I'm not agreeing with them. But it's the idea to work together and create content. And you can click around to different pages, etc. And if you, for example, edit the page, you have the inline editing as you used to. This is wiki-style linking we see here below. And the cool thing is, what we did as well, is if I start typing and creating a new page. Oh, and then the layout is a bit strange, that goes. It will already show you the different pages we have, but I can also link to do a list. And I'm not sure if I have a list. But for example, I could use here is a document library and make a link to an existing document. So instead of known URL, you can just type in and it will display to me. I don't, of course, obviously I don't have a document list here for my demo, but so in place editing as we used to. What we also have, if I close this page and I go to my other wiki, I should have gone for. This is a more simple wiki, we have the page rating on the page. And we can enable page ratings on every list in SharePoint. It will automatically add a few columns, which will store the rating, of course. There's a timer job, that's a scheduled batch, which will calculate the averages, different ratings, and all that stuff. So we can use this information, for example, to get a list of the most popular or most the best rated pages, for example. So all this information is stored in SharePoint, but you can use it in your own application or your own web parts as well without writing one line of code. If you want to write code and use the system, that's possible, of course, as well, but you don't need to. What we also have is called enterprise wikis. Wikis in the basic are really ad hoc. People can do everything what they want. Sometimes you want to have a little bit more structure. You want to have categories. You want to have some certain fields you want to fill in as well. Maybe in a picture if it's a page about a person. Then we have what we call enterprise wikis. You can define workflow. For example, you want to have some approval if people are changing pages and all that stuff. So there's a difference between just the regular wikis, which is part of SharePoint Foundation, and we have the enterprise wikis, which is part of SharePoint Server, and which are all based on the publishing pages for the people who are familiar with it. What we also do in SharePoint, and are people familiar with the web publishing functionality at the moment, building websites, we can change the page layout on the fly. So for example, when I change it to a product page, it will show me a different page with extra fields and all that stuff. And now I can add a web address and description, contact person, and other metadata, for example. I also added some categories. And here you see part of the managed metadata I was talking about in the previous slide. And what I can do if I just type ahead, for example, I want to do, for example, I get a worm. It will automatically suggest the different possible categories. So that if there are multiple categories, it will show me there as well. It's an hierarchical store, and you can have, like, for example, one keyword or multiple keywords. And when I back out of this page, you can drill down on the text automatically as well, and will display me all the pages. So it's really easy to set up some kind of navigation through the using of the text or the categories, managed or unmanaged. All right, let's go back to the My site. What you also can do on the My site is leave notes. This noteboard, you can attach this noteboard to every page in SharePoint. So there was a question, are you able to discuss, for example, on a wiki page? If you add a noteboard, people can leave comments, and people can get comments on that as well. You can do it on the My site, obviously, what I'm showing here. You can do it on your homepage of the internet if you want to. So noteboards are everywhere. That's one part of the social computing stuff. I showed the activity feed. No, I didn't. So let me go to the activity feed. This is my network. And what you see here, and this is a bit small, I think, this is the information about my colleagues, what are they doing inside my SharePoint environment during their work. So I can see that Adam Barr tagged a document with the product launch and marketing tag. That Tony updated her profile, things like that. And because I subscribe to the feed of different colleagues, I will have one nice overview of all the different kinds they are doing. And the cool part, I'm a little bit of a developer, is that you can extend the system with your own feed. Think about if your own CRM system, and people made an appointment with a customer, you can use that as a feed inside SharePoint. So people will see that Matthijs made an appointment with customer XIZ on that date. So the system is extensible, so developers can hook into the system and add extra items to this feed. So most things I'm displaying now can be changed or extended by developers if you want. So this is the blog of Dan. It's quite easy to create a new page. Just create a new page with a demo. Some nice content. Create some categories. And publish it. And I have a blog post posted. I should see my blog post. Here it is. What I also can do, for example, and this is part of, well, let me show you now. We have all different kind of APIs inside SharePoint. And one of the examples is, and I don't know if I have it in my... No. Oh, well, I show it when I do the BI stuff. I can, for example, what Mike told is we can publish an Excel sheet into SharePoint, and we can use that as a service as well. And we have different kind of APIs towards that service. So you can program against it, you can just browse to it. We also have a REST API. A REST API, you're probably not all developers, but it's a standard way, a lot of companies are using it to access data. And we can use this API, for example, to get information out of an Excel sheet as a tabular table or as a chart. So we can use charts on Excel, for example, in your blog posts. And that's what I wanted to show you. I will do that in my later demo when I find the correct URL again. So, yeah, that's all the things I want to show around the community part. There's a separate session around communities and social computing tomorrow. So make sure if you think that's interesting to check it out. SharePoint content. We talk about enterprise content management, records management, web content management, everything which has to do about documents. And what we do now is, and we start doing it with 2007 as well, is how can users use document management? Make users so enabled users so they can use all this different kind of functionality. And we did it for document management. Records management was a bit more specific, but we made it much more user-friendly as well. So, for example, instead of going to a records center and declare records over there, you can now declare in-place records. So you don't have to leave your environment. You say, well, this is a record. And from that time on, all the different kind of workflows, disposition rules. So, for example, this document needs to be checked after 2 years. You can't throw it away before that. And after 3 years, then we have to destroy it and it can't be in the system anymore. That's possible from throughout the entire system. Now, you already saw me creating pages and all that stuff. That's the same way how we create web pages as well. So there's no difference between editing a home page of a team site as it is with editing a page in a website. I already talked a little bit about the metadata and the tagging. We made it really nice and easy, usable for users as well. The taxonomies or foxonomies are usable throughout your farm, so it's outside your site collection. It's also usable in other farms or your other portals if you want so. We can also do some content types across different site collections for the people who work with content types. You know, that's always inside the site collection. If you want to change it, you need to change it in all the site collections. People build tools for that. We have now built the tools for you. So when you define, for example, a document needs to have this kind of properties, and I want to be the same in the entire SharePoint environment, we can now do that for you. Oh yeah, that's a cool one as well, and the management efficiency. What we did with Office 2010 or 2010 is when you open a document, for example, PowerPoint. PowerPoint is getting bigger and bigger all the time. So you're downloading 20 megabytes. You change the title because there was a typo, and you save it again. And we saved back 20 megabytes. And that was okay because we all have really fast networks and fast servers, and nobody's complaining. There's still a lot of customers who don't have that. So what we did now is we always store the document in a local cache, and we only send back the changes. So we call it a unit of change. An example is in PowerPoint, the title is a unit of change. If you have two lists, one of the lists is a unit of change. So if I only change the title and then I change an exclamation mark, save it, only the changed title will be sent over the line back to SharePoint and be stored over there. So we did a lot of work around Office to make it more efficient in low bandwidth scenarios and use your bandwidth easy as well. Question?
Does it require you to have 2010 of Office installed as well?
Yeah, it's a client. It's an Office client feature. No. Well, better together, right? Yeah. Yeah, another question?
Yeah, same though for version history. You also only save changes instead of the whole document again.
The question is about version histories. We change an entire document all the time, I believe. So it's not that we store the differences in the data. Is that what you mean? Yeah, no, we don't store just the differences in the database. We did that in SharePoint 2001, if you were paying attention on the presentation of Mike. We don't do that anymore. It's not in. We just store the entire blob in SQL a few times. And we have interop with other repositories. And what was the name again? I think it was MCIS. It's a standard with Cisco and ECM and. Of EMC and IBM, so we put it in the system as well. Search. We put a lot of work in search again. Well, to be honest, I think SharePoint search in 2007 was pretty okay as well. Had a lot of functionality. Maybe not everything was exposed in the user interface. And well, we're an end user session, so you didn't have it, right? But in the system itself, for example, Boolean search, wildcard searching, we did have it in the engine, but it was not exposed to the default user interface. And we have a really nice partner model, and they built something on that as well, but we put it now in the product by default. And the thing is, it's not all about just searching and getting a lot of results. It's finding the right answer. And what we try to do is, instead of typing in complex queries, we try to help the user so they can navigate through the results and drill down very fast so they can get to the result they need. And I will show you in a minute how that looks like. Of course, we added, we acquired Fast a couple of years ago, and it's now integrated in the product, so you can upgrade to Fast Search seamlessly if you want. It's not out of the box in SharePoint Server; it's a separate product you have to buy, but it's really, really nice as well. A lot of language support. What we also added is phonetic search. For example, if you search for my name and you know, well, it's something like Matthijs, but I'm not sure if it's like double TH or without H or IJ or EI or whatever, SharePoint will help you search for that. We work together with the speech server team to come up with a catalog which will store information on how you pronounce it. So when people type in searches, it will help you find this information as well. It's a really nice addition, I think. We also took in account the language, and people maybe remember now that it will take your browser setting instead of the setting you want. You can't change it, you have to do work. Now you can change the language preference you have as a setting. It will default to your browser setting, but you can change it later on if you want. And that will help building better relevance. So my setting is Dutch. Probably some Dutch documents will have more relevance than English documents. So that's a nice addition as well. We can access external data as well, as we did in the past. We changed a bit, so we do a security trimming as well. So for example, if I crawl an external system through the business connectivity service we have out of the box, and the business connectivity service lets you connect to a SQL database or an SAP or a Siebel system or your own system, and we can read security credentials or security lists on the items as well. And when you search, you will only get results you have access to. So that's a nice one as well. Enterprise deployments, we're not going to talk about it that much. There's a lot of IT pro session, but we scale really, really well. Oh, question?
Some time ago, there were plans to make search with open search access
Yes, the question is, a while ago we promised to have open search compatibility, and what it means that you can, there's a standard you can use to access other search engines as well. We already have that in the product which ships currently, 2007. And what it means that you can have a federated search. So when I search in SharePoint, you can define or configure a web part with also search in, for example, Google search, because they support this open search standard. So yes, and we still do that. Just to give some explanation about how well we scale, everything which is built in SharePoint 2010 at the moment is not only for you running in your own data center, but we use it for our SharePoint Online as well. So we have millions of users on SharePoint Online, or for maybe people know the term BPOS. It's a service you can buy from Microsoft. We host your SharePoint environment in the cloud. SharePoint 2010 needs to be scalable for that kind of usage as well. So that means that we have built-in multi-tenancy, so how we call it. In 2007, we already had some multi-tenancy built-in, for example, for sites, but not for all the services, for Excel services, BDC. So we couldn't offer that kind of services to the people who are using the SharePoint Online version. And what we did now is that I think most, maybe all, features are available online, hosted by Microsoft or another party. There are a lot of hosters as well with added value. And in your own data center, so you can supply different organizations the same hardware environment. So, demo time. Let me get back. I need to log in as an administrator now. So that's the difficult part about an overview session. You need to show everything, right? Instead of just one thing in a lot of detail. So when I go, let me show you a web content management site. And wait a little bit before it loads up. There it is. It's a website about some electronics. What you used is a content query web parts. So web parts you can define, okay, I want this information out of that list, and you have to display it like this. We can change the way it looks with some style sheets, etc. I'm not really good at it, so I want to show you how you do it. There's our session tomorrow about web content management. We can drill down in the products as well. So now another overview session, I can go to a product page, for example. And it will have a video on it. Of course, we already saw it. The thing is, what we did, and I didn't tell you before, is we store video inside SharePoint because we can now stream video outside SharePoint. So what it means is that when people are playing videos from SharePoint, you can skip ahead, go back again, and it will display the movie. So you don't need to download it before you can start playing, etc. So we do all this skipping, seeking, and all that stuff in combination with SharePoint. So that's a really nice addition. And Mike talked about storing information. Everything is in SQL, and you can choose to store certain information not inside SQL, but on the file system, for example. So if you want to build your own shared tube with all the videos, you can choose if you want to store everything in a database or outside it. We have a web part here, which this is configured to retrieve all the wikis with the tag, for example, M300, things like that. Editing is just like what people are used to. And what you also maybe didn't catch the attention of everybody, we tried to reduce the amount of full postbacks to the web server. So normally it's okay, you open a page, you enter some information, you're doing okay. The entire page will reload and will show you the results, right? That's how SharePoint 2007 works as well. What we did now in 2010 is try to reduce that. So we used the Ajax technology, maybe you're familiar with it. So we only send up the changes and only update the page part which was changed. So it saves a lot of bandwidth, a lot of time for the user as well. So this is still the same as we are used to for rich text editing, in-place editing. It's a bit stretched down, but we can have some Manage metadata, of course, again. Oh, there we go. This is a different one defined. There's some properties, so I want a feature on the home page. This is still the same as we are used to in 2007, but the editing part using the ribbon, everything is much, much easier. What we also have now is the, and Donald will do an entire session tomorrow on digital asset management. And let me wait until this loads up. This is our digital asset library. Really nice. All our images, videos, audios in there. And I can hover over it and it will display some extra information like we are used to. Okay, which camera is used to record this image. Videos will play. Here you see the metadata navigation on the left side. Product and content type, so I can drill down, for example. Okay, I just want to show. No, come on. Wake up. I have to close this one. There it is. Oh boy. I'm running on beta 2 software. Is that an excuse?
Nope.
If it was finished, we would have handed out to you today, but it's not. Oh, that's nice. Let me see. Oh, still playing my movie. Now, there it goes. You see, Firefox works. You can drill down in the different content types. So, for example, we have images, audio, and video. We can do it by product as well if we want. So, this is an automatic way to navigate inside your structured information. And you don't need to write a line of code to do that. For example, the videos. And when I hover over it, I can even start playing the video as a preview. So, really, really nice part of SharePoint 27. So. If you find this interesting, make sure you visit Donald's session tomorrow on Tuesday. Okay, back to IE. We also find out that when you have a really large document library with a lot of documents, people have trouble finding where we can store what documents. We had the so-called document routing inside the records management and in Record Center, and we made this feature available for all lists. And what this means is, I can go to the site settings, and a power user can set this up. And when I go to manage site features, and this is the place where people can switch on or off functionality, and I have content organizer feature, which is already activated on my system, which will create a drop-off library, which is here. And I can use that to, when people upload documents, it will automatically place in the correct place inside my site collection or even outside my site collection. So I need to set up a rule for that. So let me do that. Or let me go to the shared documents first. I want to store the documents here. But I want to store all the documents which are tagged with SharePoint Conference 10, 2010, to be stored in this folder. So I create this folder first. I go to my site settings. And here there's a line, content organizer rules. And I can add a new item over there. So let's call it SP SharePoint Conference Rule. And what I can do is, for example, I want to have all documents. So you can create different rules for different kind of content. And if one of the managed keywords contains any of, and I have to cheat a little bit, SPC10, I want to route it to my SharePoint folder. Okay. So when I now upload a document, it will automatically display on top of the screen, documents uploaded here are automatically moved to the correct location. So it will also already give you a notification, okay, what's going to happen when I upload documents, so people aren't that surprised what's happening. No, I can use this one. It now asks me for some metadata. You know, I've uploaded the document. So when I enter the SPC10 keyword and I hit save, what I would expect is that the document was moved over here, and that just didn't happen. Oh, man. I'm sorry? Did I change the rule that I didn't create the correct rule? Let me check it for, and otherwise, well, you have to believe me that it will work. Sometimes. Oh, yeah, SPC. Typo, thank you. Let me add another new document just to make sure that it works. So you probably still need IT support when people start using this system and they don't know how to create rules because they make typos, but oh, I need to have a, that won't work as well. Third in a row, and then I will skip to the next part. It needs to be a document. Oh, and it needs a really nice ribbon to kill all this stuff. Oh, man. Sorry about that. There it goes. Cool. Did you see that? Multi-select and lists. That's new. You know what the difficult part is when you talk to people who never saw SharePoint before? It's also, oh, this is cool because we didn't have it in 2007. I say, oh, I don't know 2007 anyway, so. Yeah. Let's, well, of course it should be in there. Why else? Huh? All right, let's see this. Now, there it goes. It will show you the final destination of the document in a nice little pop-up. And when I click OK, I can prove that it did it automatically route to the SharePoint 2010 subfolder. All right. I proved that document routing is working. Question?
Two questions, actually. Do folders natively support metadata now?
Yes, and I thought they already did it in 2007. That's okay. Well, at least you learned something today.
Yeah. And, I don't see any views in this overview. Is it possible to change views like we...
Yes, and the nice part is we still have view. The question is, well, I don't see views, and are there... Is there metadata on folders? And yes, there is metadata on folders. And I didn't talk about it today, but what we used in the past, is, for example, when you have kind of dossier forming or... A set of documents. What we did in the past was create a folder, put all the documents in there, did some metadata on the folder, and we now call that document sets. So that's already there. We have a question of the views, and then I go to you. We still have views, and what we also did is we have location-based views. So you can have multiple views inside a document library, but for example, I can create another view in the SPC10 folder. So you will, for example, if you store all the sales documents, you will maybe have separate views over there than in this folder where all the documents are. And in the past, we had to create different document libraries to accommodate this kind of functionality, right? So, yeah, we still have views, and we even extended the functionality for location-based views.
Are they in the UI? Can you show them?
Where are they in the UI? I don't think I've created views here, but here's the... Create view, modify view, and if there are views, you can change them here as well. All right? And if you want to see more details, just go to the Ask the Experts. There's setups, and you can click around yourself, etc. So you had a question as well?
Just a simple one. If you've got a document it into a folder, can you get it to inherit the properties of the metadata of the folder onto the document?
If you put a document in a folder, can you inherit the metadata of the folder? Yeah.
It put a CV into the folder, you've got employee number, employee name. So you don't have to worry about tagging the document by putting the document into the folder, you inherit the properties against the folder.
I'm not sure. If I look to the document sets, you can have a metadata on the document set,
yeah,
and the documents inside the document set folder will automatically have the metadata as well.
So you want to tag that to the document, so you don't have to manually tag each document.
I understand. So when you place it in the correct folder, it should automatically have this kind of metadata. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I have to check it out.
It's not in 2007.
No, it's not in 2007. And I'm not sure if it's in 2010, just maybe after the session or on the Ask the Experts. Let's find out. All right? Search. How much time do I have? 20 minutes, half an hour? Yeah, and break, right? Oh. Yeah, that's an early. I'm getting all nervous now, so. Yeah, 15 minutes. All right. Well, we still have some tabs to do. We still have search and insights. Search. That's a nice interface, is it? Really clean. And we do a few things with search. This is the SharePoint out-of-the-box search. No fast, just search. And what I can do is, well, we'll look for documents, obviously. And what we do during typing of your query, we do some pre-query suggestions, we call it, because when people are searching, to be honest, users are quite stupid in searching. For example, when you find the directions to this conference, people type in conference. So when we find out that this kind of, we analyze all the search queries, we can give you some suggestions while you are typing your query to make get a better result. We also do post-query suggestions, which is not enabled now, but it will display, okay, maybe you did mean this kind of queries, or other people are looking for this kind of queries. I can drill down now into the different kind of information. So for example, I just want PowerPoints. Or I want PowerPoints which have a confidential level like this, and there's my result. So that's pretty nice. What I also can do, and maybe people didn't see it, let me switch back. There's highlighting as well, and it's a bit hard to see in the back of the room, but you see gears is bold. So we do the query highlighting in the result set as well. So that's a nice addition, I think. So when I switch to the people tag, and I search and then search for camping, you will see the results. And what you also will see, and we call this the vanity search, if you're in the result set yourself, we will display a little box with some information how people find you. And we do this because we want people to edit the profile so they can be found more easily. So if you found that people only find you because you have a keyword camping, but you want to be found on because you have some knowledge about a product, maybe this will help you change your profile to more useful information. So this is the vanity search, we call it, people search. And the properties here on the left side, we will pop up, is configurable. So you can say, well, these are the properties, and when we have a result set with these properties available, it will automatically, dynamically display the list on the left side, so you can drill down in these properties as well. So for example, if I would have results without schools in the result set, there's no information with the schools property in it, we wouldn't display the schools list on the left side. So, and just to show you how fast, it's a little bit different. I have fast enabled here as well. A big difference is on the left side, you can see how many results we have before we drill down. That's one of the differences. Fast is a really, really advanced topic as well. There's a really lot of functionality inside the product. There's a separate session just on fast search. Check it out if you're interested. What I like is that we have document previews in Sites Result Set. So this is a PowerPoint, and here as well. And what I can do is preview some slides as well. So that's really nice and helps you finding your information faster. Of course, previews of Word documents as well. So just a few different things we have, but there's much, much more. It's, if you want to have an index of 50 or 100 million documents, just stick with SharePoint. And if you don't need extra functionality, if you want to scale beyond that, fast is a logical choice to make as well. All right, next, before I run out of time. I probably will, so that's okay. Yes, I showed you this. SharePoint Insights. Mike is doing a BI overview session in the next slot, so I'm just going to touch a few parts. What we want to do is, and you see that in the different teams in Microsoft as well, that they start using SharePoint as a vehicle to deliver you the information you need. So you can make decisions based on correct information, right? That's, I think, BI all about. It's not like grabbing all this different data and make nice charts, which demo nice, but it's about making good decisions on the right information. What we did now is we can incorporate the different line of business data from within SharePoint through the business connectivity services. And if I have time, I will show you how that works as well. Of course, by using a performance point server inside SharePoint, which is just is another service inside SharePoint now instead of a separate product, we have really nice dashboards as well. Self-service, people can create reports, for example, from within SharePoint by themselves. So you don't need an IT person to put online new reports. We changed the Excel service again. There's now read-write possibility. We can still expose Excel services as a web service, for example. We have Power Pivot. Maybe people have heard from it. It's an Excel edition, so you can have an in-memory database for millions and millions of records and drill down really fast, which will work together with SharePoint as well. So there's a lot of work done inside the Insight bucket in SharePoint to give you and a handle on all the information which is available inside SharePoint in the decision-making business, so to say. Of course, there's an API to change and extend everything you want. SharePoint Composites, and there's a few sessions around this during the next 2 days. Composites is all about enabling the end user so they can create their own applications without needing a developer, right? So, for example, creating a form, publish it so other people can fill in a form through the web by using InfoPath and InfoPath form services. Creating a really nice Visio diagram, hook it up to a database so it's dynamically filled with information, publish it on SharePoint so people can, through the web, for example, have a view on that data. Things like that. So it's really about empowering the end user. And we find out, and especially when you go, for example, to the SharePoint Designer sessions, that's an awesome tool. People can create crazy stuff in SharePoint Designer, right? Only in 2007, they could create crazy stuff on an environment, maybe a test or a development environment. And it was impossible or really hard to transfer that application from one system to another. So you were always building your own application on a live system. What we do now with SharePoint Designer is you can create your own crazy application, package it up, maybe give it to a developer so you can change stuff, or you can give it to somebody who can install it on another system and you have your solution there as well. So we did add a lot of functionality to SharePoint Designer. Data connectivity, one of the most important parts is the business connectivity services, and you will hear it a lot during the 2 days, connecting to other systems. We have a lot of customers wanting to display information not only inside SharePoint, from inside SharePoint, but from our system as well. And we want to combine this information as well. So we now have virtual list, we call it. It's like we have external data, for example, from database, and it looks like a SharePoint list. It behaves like a SharePoint list. We have views like a SharePoint list, but it's not. And you can use this list, for example, in another SharePoint list as a lookup. So we can really combine external data with SharePoint information without writing one line of code. Solution deployment, of course, because we want to have... one of the problems we have now is we have a really nice SharePoint platform in my organization. It's really stable. IT pro people are trained and they know what to do, and it's running along fine. Then the developers come by. I have this really nice web part. You should install it on your machines, on your server, so my end users can use it. No, maybe you might install it, and the system is getting a little bit less stable because it wasn't written very well. So what happened in a lot of organizations, and what we do with SharePoint Online in the shared scenario, we don't allow custom code running on our servers because it doesn't help us in our stability in the SharePoint environment. That's 10 minutes. Okay, thank you. And what we did is we created a sandbox solution scenario, also for SharePoint Online, when we were allowed our 2010 version. Is developers can still write custom code, a custom web part, and a custom workflow, some document library settings, etc. We can upload it to SharePoint, and you can run it in a sandbox. What does it mean? Is the sandbox has a limited amount of resources, and if we're out of resources, it will stop working. So you don't have the risk that this part of your custom code will influence the performance of other parts of your SharePoint environment. So that's a really nice solution. That means that the developers, when they build something and it takes 1 hour before you go and you have all your resources are gone because you have some resource points, people can go back to the developers, well, you have to make a better solution because it's taking all our resources and we can't use it anymore. So that's really nice. Of course, we have quota management. We have done things on, maybe people are familiar with maximum 2,000 items on a list. Yeah, all the SharePoint people. Yeah, well, it is not that we can't store any more data in SharePoint, but what we did now is we have support for large lists. We can automatically put stuff in subfolders, and we have some rules so you can't do the expensive queries, which will influence the performance on the SharePoint environment. So we have, for example, SharePoint happy hour from 7 till 12 at night, and then you can do these expensive queries instead of during the day, things like that. So we have a lot of manageability about our environment as well. So my last demo. And I need to log in as Dan again. I'm already Dan. Nice. I want to open a dashboard, which will show me a report. This is an example. To be honest, BI is a really specific topic, right? A lot of specialists around BI. I'm not that kind of specialist. So I can show you nice dashboards and nice charts. I can drill down in a chart, which is really nice. I want to drill down in United Kingdom. Oh, you can do that like this. Drill down to, for example, customer, country, it will drill down. So it gives you really a nice interface to drill down and watch all the different information in your sales dashboard. What I want to show you is a sample of the Visio web services. It will load the Visio diagram inside the web. Let me zoom in a little bit. This is really nice, and what we can do is, maybe some people don't know, but Visio can be connected to different systems as well. So for example, what you can, it's not on this here, I think, but for example, if the queue for building something, and this is a factory diagram, you can make it red if the threshold is overridden or something like that. So we can have a really dynamic kind of image on the screen. Or all the network diagrams in your organization, whatever. So people don't need Visio just to open the Visio images as well. And it's a really nice sample of a Silverlight application as well. And you can drill down if you have the information there as well. Okay, and the last one is, I have here an Access database with a little table. I got some users. There's a nice form with some movie to introduction, etc. And what I can do on the outspace is share the application and publish to Access services. If you can see it in the back, there's publish to Access services. And what it means is it shares this Access database inside SharePoint. Who used SharePoint? Oh, who used Access, by the way? People use Access? I think a lot of business-critical applications are written in Access, right? People don't know it, but maybe on your desktop or from your colleague, there's this really important Access database. And we don't have really a hold on all this database and version of database, and only those people can access the database, unless they share it on some web share or on a file share. What we can do now is publish it to SharePoint, do versioning around it, make it available for web users, and just use it as an Access database. So I can add new items to it. I can navigate through the different views. I can even watch the videos I published in SharePoint as well, in Access as well. So it's really giving me a way to publish Access applications to the web again. So Access is getting sexy again, I think. So, and of course, not everything will work, but there's a check in Access. So what will work, what will won't, and what do I need to change to make it possible to publish it to Access? And the last one I wanted to show you, and then I think the time is almost gone. I need to log in as administrator again. It's the BCS connectivity. This list is coming from SQL Server. I use SharePoint Designer to create an entity model, so I can connect to this database, create all the queries for me, and use an external list in SharePoint to display the data. There's, I think, one or two sessions just about using the business connectivity services. I can open up an item as well. So I didn't write one line of code just to create this kind of connectivity. The nice thing is I can take this, and there's a command here, to Outlook as well. And that looks like this. I configured in SharePoint Designer that this kind of data is similar to a contact in Outlook. Could be a calendar as well if you want to. So when I go to Outlook, it looks like this. So there's different kind of ways to look at the list. This is the same data as I was displaying in SharePoint. I can change it here. It will sync automatically to SharePoint through my database as well. So by using the business connectivity services, I'm able to expose my line of business application data to SharePoint and to Office. For example, a scenario would be some customer names could be used as metadata in other lists as well. And this metadata is coming from a database through the BCS. Things like that are possible without writing code if you want. Question?
Is it edible from the...
Yeah. Alfreds of England, exclamation mark. And let me see if it already synced it. Here it is, exclamation mark. Yeah. Do you want me to open SQL Server dashboard as well? No? Okay. I will do that, but after the session. Okay, great question. So it syncs from Outlook, it's read-write data. That's new compared to the current version we have in 2007. All right, so because of the time, I will skip to my last few slides. And I'm happy to show you much, much more during the rest of the event. I will be on the Ask the Experts. Don't ask too hard questions, but if you do, there's a lot of people who are much smarter than I, so they can answer your questions. We did some IT pro investment. We can store terabytes of data in SharePoint. If people say, well, they can't store it in SharePoint, don't believe me. There's just a few scenarios you probably wouldn't do it in SharePoint, but we can store a lot. You need to have the skills and the knowledge how you want to scale SharePoint, but we can do it. The difference between on-premise and hosted, I already talked about a little bit. We can store SharePoint inside or outside the database. We have lots more tools for the IT pros to manage the environment through scripts or through the interface. The admin interface is more consolidated now as well. The developer investments. I'm really glad the Visual Studio team now is owner of the tools. That means that they understand the developers. They want to make life of the developers much, much more easy. And thankfully they did, because it was necessary as well. There's a lot of stuff in there. We have linked to SharePoint. We have a client object model, so you can access data in SharePoint from outside a SharePoint server. We use it from Office as well. That's really nice. There's a standardized package, so from SharePoint Designer we can export a package, send it to the Visual Studio guys, they can package it up and they can send it back to the IT pros. We can install SharePoint now on Vista and on Windows 7 64 bits for development purposes. Don't run it in production, we don't recommend and support it. So by that, this is really nice information for your colleagues who are developers, the learning kit in, on Channel 9. Ask the experts upstairs and go to the DWIRG site. It's the Dutch Information Worker User Group.